Science writer Margaret Wertheim has an unusual hobby. For years, she's collected the books, letters, and theories of outsider physicists, people with no formal training in physics, who are nonetheless convinced they've found the true theory of the universe. Wertheim writes about these amateur scientists in her book, Physics on the Fringe. She says even if we don't accept their theories, these people are often worth listening to. Anne Strangechamps asked Wertheim who in particular has grabbed her attention.
Well, the highlight of my collection undoubtedly is the work of a man, Jim Carter. Jim is a self-taught everything. He owns and runs a trailer park in a beautiful piece of property outside Seattle, but he's also a self-taught engineer who invented a kind of bag for lifting boats underwater. But in his abundant spare time, he has developed an entire theory of the universe. He's got an alternative theory of how subatomic matter builds up to the periodic table. He's got an entire alternative theory of gravity and an alternative theory of the creation of the universe. He self-publishes books which are full of these extraordinary diagrams and illustrations, which he's ultimately turned into animations of his ideas. He's a very rare one. Many of the others that I have sort of one idea or, you know, one or two ideas that they tend to come back to again and again and again. But usually they're not nearly as diverse as Jim. So Jim Carter is the star of my book, Physics on the Fringe.
Now, this is the guy you call the Leonardo of fringe physics?
Yes, he's a complete self-inventor.
So you think he's brilliant?
I think he's utterly brilliant. I've certainly learned a lot about being a human being from him. One of the things I've learned about being a human being from Jim is to be utterly fearless. You know, Jim has no training in building, yet he designed and made his own house. It looks like some sort of Middle Earth fantasy. You know, it's kind of all slightly wonky, and it used to have grass growing on the roof, and there's a huge tree trunk growing in the middle of his living room. You know, he has no training in engineering, but he developed these lift bags, which he now sells to people like the US Coast Guard and the Navy, and even NASA buys these things from him to lift parts that fall off the back of rockets. So he feels that if a problem faces him, he feels he can do it. And the main problem that faces him is, how does the universe work? And he believes that the universe is like a big machine. And having grown up on a farm, he grew up fixing tractors and trailers and cars, and he feels like he can pretty much turn his hand to fixing any machine. He's a very good mechanic, and in his eyes, the universe is just a big machine, a big complicated machine, and therefore he can get under the hood and figure out how it works.
Mm. And this is the guy who believes the universe is made of particles he calls circlons?
Yes. In Jim's theory of the universe, everything, all matter, is made up of these circlon-shaped particles. They look like little rings, and one way of thinking of them is from a distance they look a bit like smoke rings, and that they're all interlocked together like a kind of subatomic chain mail. Now, to test his theories about how he thinks circlon-shaped particles interact, Jim has done experiments in his backyard with actual smoke rings. He makes these smoke ring generators out of big garbage cans and stretches a piece of rubber sheeting over the top of it, and use a disco fog machine to provide the smoke. And he makes these giant smoke rings, which he pelts across his front yard and shows how you can collide them together and make them jump through one another. And it's really, really very charming.
That sounds beautiful. It's
nuclear physics in your backyard, but for a fraction of the cost that the particle accelerators cost.
So Jim's basic idea, if I have it right, is that gravity doesn't exist, that instead everything is expanding all the time. Can you explain that?
Yes, the most, as it were, hard to swallow part of his theory is a very simple one. He says that all matter is expanding all the time. So if you think of the surface of our Earth, think of our Earth like a giant balloon. It's constantly expanding. It's filling out, moving up, up, up. And we're standing on it. So Jim believes that what we call the force of gravity is actually due to the pressure of the upwardly expanding Earth.
There's no validity to this, is there? I mean, you know, you're a trained physicist. Are there actual scientific ideas here that you find intriguing?
Well, as a trained physicist myself, I can say with all sincerity that I don't think any outsider physicist I've met is going to win the Nobel Prize, nor do I think they're ever going to have their physics theories taught in Harvard and Princeton and Stanford, and nor do I think they should. That said, I think there's something really important and interesting going on here. And the interesting questions for me are the sociological ones and the psychological ones. What's driving these people? Jim is not alone and isolated. There's a whole association of outsider physicists called the Natural Philosophy Alliance. In their database, they now have more than 2,000 theorists listed, more than 1,300 books, and abstracts of well over 5,000 papers, all claiming to be radical new theories of physics. Now, whether any of these are right in terms of, you know, Nobel Prize-winning accolades remains to be seen. I seriously doubt that any of them will be. But what it constitutes here is a large-scale refutation of mainstream physics. What does it mean that in the age of string theory and supergravity theory and quantum loop gravity and all of these complicated, brilliant theories that are coming out of Harvard and Stanford, etc., what does it mean that a man in a trailer park feels the need to reinvent physics from the ground up?
Well, what does it mean?
I think what these people are saying, and they say it in one way or another again and again and again, is that they reject the idea that the fundamental structure of reality can only be articulated in a language of arcane mathematics that can only be understood by a few thousand people with higher degrees in physics and math. They believe that nature speaks a language that the common man should be able to understand. But the dilemma here for them, in my view, is that, of course, quantum mechanics and special relativity have led us to things like lasers, microchips, GPS satellites.
In other words, this stuff actually works.
This stuff actually works. But the price we pay is a portrait of reality that is literally inaccessible to 99.99% of our population. Where do we as a society sit with that?
Well, I'm trying to decide whether the fringe physics movement that you've described is a reactionary movement longing for a simpler time when science was a kind of natural philosophy and anybody with a basic education could participate in it, or whether it's something more forward-moving, a kind of DIY science.
It is DIY science. In that sense, I think it's positive. You know, these outsiders often quote Francis Bacon, who basically said, you know, don't believe what the elite university people in their ivory towers tell you. Go out there and engage with nature for yourself. Do experiments for yourself. That is the heart of the Baconian method. And these people do often quote the scientific method, you know, test, experiment, theorize, experiment. They believe they're doing all of that. Now, the question here is, where is it going to get them? I mean, they are starting off with the view that physics must be simpler than it is currently practiced in the mainstream. But physics in the mainstream has got to be very complex because we did find out most of the simple stuff. And what we were left with was the hard stuff that is really complex.
That's so interesting because it's this picture of human knowledge as a kind of linear progression, you know, in which every successive age does ever more complicated work and creates ever more complex models of the universe to the point that, you know, as you said, the ordinary layperson can't understand them.
Yes, I mean, the ordinary layperson, many of them, feel literally alienated by the scientific world picture that they read about in places like Scientific America and Discover magazine in the science pages of the New York Times. And so I think we're challenged to ask, what is the role of theoretical physics in our lives? And, you know, the classical answer is that theoretical physics is the way that we articulate the fundamental structure of reality. It's the ultimate truth about our universe. But if that truth is something that can only be understood by a couple of thousand extremely elitely educated people, then I think it's not surprising that out there people will say, well, I just don't accept that. I need a theory of the universe too. I am a person in this universe. I have to feel comfortable in this world. I think that's actually a fundamental need that humans have.
That's Margaret Wertheim talking with Anne Strangechamps. Her book is called Physics on the Fringe.